Today our Bible lesson is entitled, Three Kinds of Christians. Three Kinds of Christians. But before we begin, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. Father, we ask your blessing upon the lesson today. We pray that you would strengthen and encourage the saint of God listening today. And if there is a lost soul listening today, I pray that they would come to realize their lost condition and need of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, believing in their heart, by faith, that it's only the shed blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else that pays for all their sins, past, present, and future, and secures them a home in heaven. And Father, we pray that you would have your will and your way in our lesson today, and it's in Jesus' precious name we pray and we give thanks. Amen. Three kinds of Christians. We're going to be in the third epistle of John, So let's turn together to the third epistle of John. It's a short epistle. It only has 14 verses. And let's read that third epistle of John together. The words of God have this to say. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, that ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Three kinds of Christians we see here. We see three different individuals named by the Apostle John, and they are Gaius, Diotrephes, and Demetrius. And in these three folks, we see three types, three kinds of Christians. Today, many churches are being destroyed from within by the sins of professing Christians. One person often wants the preeminence, so he has to put others down. And the result of this is loss of love to Christ, loss of peace of God, loss of freedom to serve God, loss in the joy of service, and the loss of soul winning. You see, my dear listener, each Christian is a good or bad witness. You see, we are either helping or hindering the truth. And we need to ask ourselves and be honest. Are we part of the problem or are we part of the solution? The third epistle of John was addressed to Gaius, a church leader. And John discusses Diotrephes and Demetrius. Now let's together consider each man's ways. We see Gaius, first of all, Gaius the encourager, in verses 1 through 8. We see that Gaius was well beloved, in verse 1. We see that the elder, amen, unto the well-beloved Gaius, the elder being John the Apostle. And we also see, again, and he's beloved in verse 5, beloved, amen. We read in verse 5, he's addressed, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. And we also see that Gaius was spiritually healthy in verse 2. We read in God's words, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospereth. We see here in verse 2 that John the Apostle wished that Gaius would be as physically healthy as he was spiritually healthy. Spiritual health, my friends, results from nourishing ourselves daily with God's words, exercising ourselves unto godliness. Turn with me, if you would, to the first epistle to Timothy, and then we want to look at chapter 4 of the first epistle of Timothy and verses numbers 6 and 7. We read, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast obtained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. We're looking at what spiritual health results from. Also, it results from keeping ourselves clean. Looking in 2 Corinthians with me, if you would, in chapter number 7, verse 1, the words of God have this to say, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And then we also see that spiritual health results from resting in the Lord and renewing our strength by close personal fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11, in verses 28 to 30, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In verse 30 is a result of verses 28 to 29. See? The yoke, Christ's yoke is easy and his burden is light, is a result of you and I coming unto him and also taking his yoke upon us and following his example. So far, as we look at the first kind of Christian, Gaius, here in the third epistle of John, Gaius the encourager, we saw that he was well-beloved, he was spiritually healthy, and also Gaius was a good testimony. And why was that? Well, because God's truth was in him, and he obeyed it. Look at in verse 3. John the Apostle says here and writes, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." So, we must digest God's word and make it a part of us, amen, in order to have a good testimony. Look with me in Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, in chapter 15. And then when we get to 15, we want to look together at verse number 16. Jeremiah 15, verse 16 says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy, and rejoice in my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." So we must digest here, as Jeremiah did, the words of God, and make it a part of us in order to have a good testimony. We also see that Gaius, the encourager, was a soul winner and a disciple maker. John here gives the key to joy in the Christian life. Look at in verse 4. He says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." See? It is winning people for Christ and teaching them to walk in God's truth. Nothing else gives greater joy. In fact, Gaius may have been one of John's converts and disciples. We're looking at Gaius, the encourager. And we see here in the third epistle of John, John describes him that he was well-beloved, he was spiritually healthy, he had a good testimony, amen. And then Gaius was a faithful man. Gaius was a faithful man. Look at verse 5 with me. It says, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers." We are told here that Gaius helped both the brethren and strangers. Let's stop for a moment and ask ourselves a question. What motivates us to have a practical ministry to other believers? Amen. Well, let's try to answer the question then. First of all, what motivates us to have a practical ministry to other believers? Well, a desire to honor God. That's what Gaius did. Look in verse 6. Verse 6, we read there in the latter part, "After a godly sort, thou shalt do well." After a godly sort means worthy of God as it befits God. See, Gaius showed hospitality to strangers, that's right, who bore witness of Gaius's charity before the church. And some of these strangers may have been traveling gospel preachers. We ask the question, what motivates us to have a practical ministry to others? Well, number two, a desire to help win the lost. And this is achieved as we help God's servants to do this task. In verse 7, we read about Gaius, because that for his name's sake they went forth, amen, taking nothing of the Gentiles. See? Gaius helped God's servants so that they could go forth and win others. These traveling missionaries took no support from unsaved Gentiles, only from believers. Again, we ask the question, what motivates us to have a practical ministry to other believers? We saw so far a desire to honor God. Number two, a desire to help win the lost. And then three, a desire to obey God. Look at verse 8. We read in the words of God, we therefore ought to receive such. God wants us to help gospel preachers who bring salvation to others. My friends, let us open our hearts to those who teach God's truth. So, first of all, we've looked at Gaius, the encourager. There's one type of Christian. Now, let's look at the second type of Christian, as we see here in the third epistle of John, and that's Diotrephes, the dictator. And we read about him in verses 9 through 11. Now, many churches have members who insist on being boss. Now, a pastor or minister means servant. We see that Christ's disciples argued over who would be greatest in the kingdom. And we see that in the Gospel of Matthew, if you'll turn there with me in chapter 18. And verses 1 through 6. Matthew 18, verses 1 through 6. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Wherefore, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believed in me, it were better for him that a milestone or a millstone were hung about his neck, that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. So Jesus reminded them that their model for ministry was not a government official's. Amen. No. It was Christ who became a humble servant. Amen. Now, what are we told about Diotrephes? Well, we see, first of all, that he loved to have the preeminence. Look at him verse, as we go back to the third epistle of John, verse 9. We read this. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. You see, he wanted to be number one. And his motive was pride. See? Now, we're told in the scriptures that Christ, amen, is to have preeminence in every area of our lives. Amen? He is to have the preeminence. He is to be for everything. Amen? Nothing is to be put before Him. See? He is to have the preeminence. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse 18, we're reminded of this. And He, in the context, is talking about Jesus Christ, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. In all things He might have preeminence. See that? Christ is to have preeminence in everything. Amen. Preeminence. The Apostle John tells us about Diotrephes that he would not receive John. See? Again in verse 9, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. He could have learned so much from the Apostle John. Now, why did he reject John? Why did he reject John? Because John challenged his right to be a dictator in the church. See, looking in the beginning part of verse 10 of the third epistle of John, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds. See, I will remember his deeds. Diotrephes was proud and sought self-glory. Diotrephes would not receive him. See? And then we see that he lied about John. We see that in verse 10. Wherefore, if he says, Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. Malicious words, which means bringing false charges against us. My dear friends, do not believe all you are told about people. Some people like to twist the truth and put their slant on things to make themselves look good and the other person bad. That's what Diotrephes did in regards to the Apostle John. Then we see that Diotrephes rejected John's associates. We see there when it says, neither doth he himself receive the brethren. Diotrephes disciplined those that disagreed with him by casting them out of the church. See? It says here in verse 10, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. So, here we see Diotrephes. He was destroying his own local church through his pride, fear, and insensitivity. He knew nothing of love. So what's the lesson here? Well, we see it in verse 7. Follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. Amen. We read in verse 11, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. So far, we've seen two types of Christians here in the third epistle of John. We've seen Gaius the encourager. We've looked at Diotrephes the dictator. And the last one we want to look at is Demetrius. Demetrius, the good example. And we read about him in verses 12 through 14. Now, Demetrius had a good report of all men, the truth of the Bible and John himself. Notice, it says, Demetrius, in verse 12, hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself, meaning the Word of God, Yea, and we also, this is John saying, be a record, that you know that our record is true. So, he's a good example for us to follow, is he not? He had a good report of all men. And I believe that's saved and unsaved. He had a good report as far as the truth of the Bible itself. He followed the Word of God, what it had to say. He conducted his life. And even John, the elder, the apostle, he had a good report of John. So Demetrius was an example, a model, an ideal Christian worthy to be followed. We stop here for a second and we ask the question, is it right to follow men? The answer is yes, only as they follow Christ. See? Now notice with me, let's turn over to Philippians chapter 3, if you would. The book of Philippians, chapter 3. And in Philippians chapter 3, I want us to look at verse 17. The words of God say this, brethren, be followers together of me. Amen. Paul says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. So, we're to follow men, leaders in the church, pastors, as they follow Christ, as they set the example. Amen. By their conduct, how they live their lives according to the Word of God. And in fact, the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians in the first letter, the first epistle, chapter 11, and verse number 1, he says this, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. See, that's the condition for them to follow Paul as he follows Christ. As soon as any leader in the church, pastor, whoever it may be, Sunday school teacher, stops following Christ, stops living according to the Word of God, then you're no longer to follow them. It's only as they follow and live for Jesus Christ. By our good example, we will do, as it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, we will consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. When we set the example for others, it causes them to do right, to do good works, provoke them unto love. Now, John concludes his epistle. He says that he would soon visit the church and speak face to face with the people. Now, this thought of accountability is important. John wishes them peace, something that is hard to enjoy when Diotrephes wanted to be a boss and expel people. In spite of trouble, we can still have the peace of God. We can greet the friends by name, and John calls them friends. It's good to be a friend maker as well as a soul winner, my friends. Diotrephes was so dictatorial that he had fewer and fewer friends. So we've seen today in the third epistle of John, three kinds of Christians. Gaius the encourager, amen. Diotrephes the dictator, amen. And Demetrius the good example. Which one of you Which one of those three kinds of Christians are you, my friend? That's all the time we have today. May God richly bless you is my prayer, and good day.